Chapter 8, 1980s to present day. As of the 31st of March 1980, there were 921 blind and partially sighted on the Society's register, increasing to 1,243 by 1992. Mrs. M. Weston continued her dedicated and selfless work as president of the Society throughout all of those years, from 1978 to the late 1900s, enduring all the changes within the Society in this period. In 1980, Mrs. Weston was awarded a British Empire Medal on behalf of Her Majesty the Queen by the Lord Lieutenant of Dorset, Colonel Sir Joseph Weld, for over 40 years of service to the blind in Bournemouth. This historic moment in the Society's history was celebrated with a coffee morning held at Rupert Hall on the 12th of November 1980, where the Society and all its members came together to celebrate and congratulate Mrs. Weston. Together with her husband, Ernest Weston, Mrs. Weston was an active worker for the Society. Her husband started the distribution of radios for the members of the Society. Mrs. Weston helped with the delivery of radios and batteries to people all across Bournemouth. Without them, the members would not have been able to entertain themselves in the comfort of their own homes. Over 400 radio sets were lent out by the Society, which gave so much pleasure to the blind of Bournemouth. In an interview by The Echo, Mrs. Weston commented, "I feel that there are so many more voluntary workers in our Society who deserve awards too. I give them all I can and help them in lots of little ways. I love them all and I think that they love me too." It is true to say that Mrs. Weston was dearly loved by the Society and was such a valuable member who is still remembered today for all of her hard work. 1982 saw the 25th anniversary of the opening of Hannington Hall as a social centre for the blind to serve the Boscombe-Southbourne areas. The event was celebrated by a grand lunch at the hall. Among the guests was Mrs. Templeman, who had opened the hall when she was mayoress in 1957. She made a speech about how the Society has grown and developed and how lovely it was to see a family relationship helping the visually impaired and the blind to make the most of life. An exciting new sport, Bowls for the Blind, was launched in June 1981. This out-of-doors venture excited the members of the Society as Seafield Gardens Bowling Pavilion set up a new scheme to help teach the blind to play bowls. A small party of enthusiastic learners started on the croquet lawn, but great progress was made to the greens. It was clear that these members of the Society had a unique talent. This activity was great for the members of the Society because it helped to get them out into the fresh air and to take an interest in a new sport with the potential to meeting new people. By 1985, about 14% of the Society's members were over the age of 90. Since the early 1980s, it became a tradition to visit these members on their birthdays and to deliver a greeting and gift. Those who made these visits were said to have been particularly touched by the welcome they received and the pleasure that it had given to the recipients. This is just another example of the care the Society took for their members. From Christmas gifts in the 1920s to 90th birthday gifts in the 1980s, the Society continued to celebrate with their members and make them feel special and looked after. Activities for the blind were as varied as ever in the 1980s. Activities such as Christmas parties, games and handicraft services, music club, old-time dances and religious services were offered to the members of the Society, as well as property services for those who were housebound. With two busy social centres running facilities for the blind and visually impaired, it was seen that a minibus would be a great addition to the Society, helping to transport its members to the centres for their activities. Holiday grants were also available for those wishing to have a change of air and environment, and the Society provided a free service where they repaired and provided batteries for radio sets as well as braille watches. Flag Day, or Geranium Day, was still running as an annual street collection in Bournemouth with help from the Royal National Institute for the Blind. Another fundraising activity in 1980 helped by the Royal National Institute for the Blind was the Champion School Competition, a sponsored quiz between schools in Bournemouth and Dorset, with the finalists going on to compete against other countries. In 1988, £2,480.14 was raised. This huge amount, nearly £7,000 in 2020's money, went a great way to help the society run the activities and facilities that benefited their members so much. In the 1980s, another fundraising activity was started. An annual summer fair was put on at Rupert Hall with teas served in the garden of the home. Many members of the community attended and donated to the fair in order to help raise money for the society. In 1980, £256 was raised. In the early months of 1982, one lady had been a resident at the home in Moredown for 32 years since 1950, unfortunately passed away. This was a great loss for the home. Miss Edith Woodrow, or Edie as she was most affectionately known, was one of the home's bubbliest characters. She is noted to have been one of the most helpful and kindest of people one could have wished to have met. The society helped to remember Edie and her kind heart by dedicating a section of their summer garden to her. In 1987, Mr. Waller joined the executive committee. Mr. Waller was the headmaster of St. John's Church of England Primary School, next to the Home for the Blind. He, with his staff and pupils, gave valuable support to the Home for the Blind, with students often reading to residents and also helping them write out their Christmas cards for them too. The school also bought produce from harvest festivals and invited residents to the service. Even the local brownies often visited the home to entertain residents. This goes to show how the society was helping to raise awareness of blindness, as well as caring for those who were blind. 1987 saw the 50th anniversary of the Home for the Blind in Rupert Hall. To mark this half-centenary occasion, an anniversary lunch was provided in the Rupert Memorial Hall for the residents of the home and those who attended the hall. The chief guest was Mr. David Durrell from the Royal Victoria Hospital at Westbourne, who was presented with a cheque for £2,000 from the society for the glaucoma appeal. A search for an effective treatment, causes and awareness for glaucoma, a disease very common amongst the society's members. A further £50 was collected by those attending the anniversary lunch, which was then added to the total. Mr. Durrell was overwhelmed with thanks and pledged to work closely with the society to help treatments for glaucoma. The community arts at Haviland Road provided the society with its first talking newspaper in 1987. This fantastic new way for the blind to listen to newspapers on tape was a huge hit at the society. Even today, the society still sends out talking newsletters to its members, so this was a great invention that really enhanced the lives of the blind. In 1988, it was decided that because the home had only been half full for some time now, it should be closed and refurbished. One reason for the lack of residents was the Community Care Act. This meant that more people were being cared for in their own homes, so the home was not needed as much. Both social centres remained open and still provided meeting places where people with similar problems could share their joys as well as their difficulties. In 1991, it was decided that due to many changes happening in blind welfare, Hannington Hall must close and the Home for the Blind and Rupert Memorial Hall would become a centre for the visually impaired for all of Bournemouth. Hannington Hall was sold in 1992 and the proceeds were used towards the renovations and refurbishment of the centre to make it suitable for present day requirements. The society continued to run its activities and services for its members through the Rupert Memorial Hall until 1998, when the Centre for the Visually Impaired was reopened by comedian and performer Max Bygraves, who lived in Westbourne at the time. One of the features that the new centre had was a resource room where aids and appliances for the blind were available, as still are today. Overall, it was a big step forward for the new modern society. In 2000, the society officially changed its name to Bournemouth Society for the Visually Impaired, to go with their new Centre for the Visually Impaired. Working with Bournemouth Social Services, a sight and hearing resource centre was also opened and merged with the society. Items designed to assist visually impaired and hearing impaired people with independent daily living were added to their resource room to provide for both the visually and hearing impaired. In 2003, a new kitchen allowing blind people the chance of understanding how their own kitchen could be adapted was also opened by MP David Blunkett. This kitchen is still used by the society today and is an invaluable resource for helping to teach the blind how to adapt to their disability, not to mention how useful the kitchen's tea and coffee facilities are. In 2007, members of the Society were treated to a royal visit from His Royal Highness Prince Edward, the Earl of Wessex, who launched the new Floating Support Service. This service includes community support, befriending support, guiding service, and site awareness training for all of its members. In the following year, 2007, Katrina Husbands, a member of British Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy, set up the Society's Emotional Support Service, providing members with a person to turn to if they were struggling emotionally to come to terms with being deaf or blind. In 2012, the Society sadly said goodbye to Dorothy Cook, who had been associated with the charity since 1955 and was president from 2007. Over the years, Dorothy had helped organise social activities, holidays, outings and garden fetes, in addition to writing the newsletter and helping to cook Christmas lunches. Her dedication to the organisation was evident in her baking of cakes for the Christmas fair a few days before passing away. In 2015, the Society was renamed Bournemouth Blind Society and was presented with a whole new rebranding with new aims to strengthen and develop its services to visually impaired people living in the Bournemouth area. During October 2016, the Society proudly held its first art exhibition at Bournemouth Library. Visitors were impressed with the pieces on display in a range of different media, including paintings, clay, collage, mosaics, quilting, knitting and free stitch. The work proves that sight loss does not mean having to give up hobbies or artistic pursuits, something that the Society proudly promoted. 2 months later, a brand new assistive technology suite was opened. Assistive technology helps people communicate by either voice or magnification on their computer, tablet or mobile phone. The AT suite was opened by the Mayor of Bournemouth, Councillor Eddie Coop, on the 1st of December 2016. Prior to the AT suite being opened, the nearest facilities were in Bristol and Brighton. Chief Executive Philip Tarrant said at the time, "We are very grateful for the foresight of our trustees who recognised the need for these facilities. With the financial support of the Talbot Village Trust and a number of private donations, we have been able to provide a modern space for tuition in a relaxed and friendly atmosphere." Most recently, in November 2018, the members paid an emotional tribute to those who fought in the First World War. Many of their fathers had been in the forces, and it was poignant that they should remember their actions. They particularly remembered those soldiers who came back from the trenches suffering from sight loss due to gas attacks. As we have discovered, the Society was able to support such soldiers living in the Bournemouth area 100 years ago, so it was a good way to remember and honour the members of the Society during the war, such as Mr. Homer and Mr. Latty, and how they selflessly dedicated their lives helping the blind and visually impaired during the war and the early stages of the Society.